Praise the Lord. Please, can you turn around and just celebrate somebody just before you take your seat? Celebrate somebody beside you. Okay, maybe one, two, three people. You can just, one, two, three people. Just celebrate them. The grace of God upon their lives. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. Please, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Amen. Let me begin by celebrating and saluting our parents, Drs. Rachel and Abel Demina. Amen. Amen. For being a blessing to the nations of the world. And for setting up an enabling environment for everyone to gather like this to learn subject matters as regarding the doctrine of Christ. What a blessing. Please, can we celebrate them one more time? Amen. Praise the Lord. Please, you may be seated. Amen. My name is Philemon Mewazi. And I'm going to be taking us on healing ministry this morning. On healing ministry. This is a vital subject. And anyone or everyone who is a minister of the New Testament must understand the healing ministry. Because there comes a time in your life when that will be needed. Or that knowledge will be relevant. And so it becomes important that as a workman who needs not to be ashamed understands what healing ministry is all about. Praise the Lord. In the course of this subject, we're going to be looking at the origin of sickness, and you can take note of that. The origin of sickness. The origin of sickness. We are also going to be looking at redemption and healing. The origin of sickness, redemption and healing. Number three, we would also look at Paul, Timothy, and Job as a case study. Paul, Timothy, and Job as case study. Number four, we would also look at the name of Jesus. And lastly, we'll look at reigning in life. Please, if at any point in time you want me to take it again, just let me know. Should take it again? All right. Origin of sickness, number one. Number two, redemption and healing. Thirdly, Paul, Timothy, and Job as case study. The name Jesus. And lastly, reigning in life. Are we on the same page? All right. Of course, study materials for those of you who would want to have materials for further study. We have the healing ministry of Jesus. We have healing and material prosperity. Okay, I'm sure you can get those materials in our study, in our product stand. Healing ministry of Jesus, healing and material prosperity, name of Jesus, reigning in life. Okay, we have four different materials here. And you can have all of those materials for the purpose of further studies. Now, we said we're going to look at the origin of sickness. The origin of sickness. And in understanding the origin of sickness, there are three school of thought. In understanding the origin of sickness, there are three different school of thoughts. Number one, The number one school of thought, God is the source of everything. The first school of thought says, God is the source of everything. That God is the source of everything. In other words, when you see good, bad, it's from God. Whatever happens, and we have religions today that proclaim that God does evil and God does good. He is the source of it all. In other words, if he does not allow, it cannot happen. The second school of thought. Are we together? Satan is the source of sickness. Satan is the source of sickness. That's the second school of thought. That Satan is the source of sickness. Okay? And then thirdly, that sin brought sickness. Sin brought sickness. Are we on the same page? Okay. Now notice, this one hardly has one scripture. This particular school of thought, the third school of thought, hardly has one scripture. Yet, it's the closest to the truth. It hardly has one scripture, yet it is the closest to the truth. So now, what was the origin of sickness? What was the origin of sickness? Because when you're talking sickness, we have to look at the origin. Where did it even start from? How did it start? Notice, there is a scriptural basis for the origin of sickness and diseases. And we must find it out. There is a scriptural basis for the origin of sickness and diseases, and we must find it out. As a believer and as a Christian, we must learn to confine our persuasions within the borders of scriptures. So note this, it is also important to note that the book of Genesis will help us. It is important to note that the book of Genesis will help us a great deal, the book of Genesis. Jesus, on several occasions, traces the origin of things to the beginning. To the beginning. Oftentimes, he traces the origin of things to the beginning. You remember when he said to them, you are of your father, the devil? All right? He says, for he was a murderer from when? The beginning. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 19 and verse number 8. Let's look at it. Matthew 19 and verse number 8. It's another scripture. John 8:44 already tells us, I quoted that already, but Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 8. If you are there, can I hear an amen? All right, can we read it together? If you are there, 19 and verse number 8. Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. From when? From the beginning. So Jesus oftentimes traced things to the beginning. Are we together? Now, hence, we can trace the origin of sickness and diseases to Genesis. We can trace the origin of sickness and diseases from Genesis. So since we are talking about Genesis, let's now see God's creation. God's creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1 to 31. We will see all of God's creation. Okay, the beginning was God created the heavens and the earth. Earth was without form and void and on and on and on. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then God said, let there be this. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And he saw that it was good. Are we together? So note this, Genesis 1, verse 1 to 31, everything created was good and perfect. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1 to 31, everything God created was perfect. It was perfect, showing God's character. Hence, sickness wasn't God's creation. Showing God's character. Hence, sickness and diseases are not part of God's creation. Can we go on? Notice this also in Genesis 1, 26 to 28 and Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You can write the scriptures down. We're going to look at them one after the other. And Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 to 8. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Genesis 2, 7. Psalms 8, verse 1 to 8. Man was also created without sickness and diseases. Are we together? Let's look at Genesis 1:26 and we're going to read it together like a choir. Genesis 1:26. If you are there, say, I am there. All right. If you're not there, say, wait for me. Genesis 1:26. Everybody, can we read it together? Clean and clear. One to go. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28, everybody. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing, living thing, that moveth upon. Are we together here? Do we see sickness there? There is no mention of sickness. There is no disease found. Are we together? The book, look, let's look at the next scripture. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Can we read it together? Clean and clear. One to go. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed upon his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Are we together here? Okay, man became what? Was man perfect in this state? All right, the book of Psalms chapter 8 and verse number 1. Psalms chapter 8 and verse number 1. If you are there, say, I am there. And if you are not there, say, wait for me. Good to know that you are there. Everybody, verse 1, clean and clear, want to go. O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest heal. Now, if we read on and on and on, in verse number 3, he says what? When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. So man was created without. That's actually what we are trying to establish here. No mention of sickness. There is no trace of it in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2. Are we together here? Because that is where we see all of God's creations. Praise the Lord. Now, having seen this, we can conclude once again that God is good and perfect in all his ways. True? Now, so take note of this. Sickness means to be diseased. Sickness means to be diseased. To have your or some part of your body malfunction. To have your or some part of your body malfunction. To have some part of your body malfunction, for the body to be diseased. Amen. I know that even if we don't give this definition, everybody knows what sickness is all about. Except if you have never been sick in your life since you were born. I have been sick before. Amen. So I know what sickness is all about. Amen. All right, let's go on. Now, when you look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17, there's something I want us to look at there. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17. There we will see the consequences of man's action. What does it say? Genesis chapter 2, verse number 17. If you are there, say, I am there. All right, we're going to read 2 verse 17. Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Thou shalt what? Let's read the next verse. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him, verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to see, and whatsoever was, are we together here? Now, what do we see in verse number 17? He said, the day you eat of it, what will happen? Shall surely die. So that is to say, there is a consequence to man's actions. Okay? There is a consequence to man's action. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there is a consequence to that action. So the question we would want to ask, we want to answer now is, was sickness a result of disobedience? Was sickness, and we're going to answer that question, was sickness a result of disobedience? We are studying. This question is rhetorical. Note this, sickness apparently from the scriptures came after Genesis 3. Sickness apparently came after Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3 is where we see, or we see disobedience. That's where we see disobedience. After Genesis 3. So from Genesis 3 to the end, the theme or the thematic or subject study of the scripture is redemption. From Genesis to the end, Genesis chapter 3, okay? The subject of scripture is redemption. Well, we see, what is 3:15? In fact, from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where he talks about the seed of the woman, okay? We see a redemption plan. Okay? So note this. The prophetic scriptures are able to make one wise unto salvation, which is where? In Christ Jesus. So if we are tracing sickness to disobedience, another question we will want to answer is, did Jesus die to take away sickness? Don't be in a hurry to answer. It's another rhetorical question. Okay, you're on a journey. What did Jesus really die for? I'm not saying you should answer me, but that's what we're going to examine. Okay? What did he really die for? Did he die to take away sickness? What did he really die for? Now note this, Jesus died to take away sin. To take away what? Because in Genesis 2:17, we see he said, the day you eat of it, you shall what? Surely die. And the eating, we know that the eating is disobedience. Okay, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it's by one man, sin did what? Entered into the world. Okay, and death by sin. And if you read on and on, we see that in Romans 5, it tells us that, you know, the sin is disobedience. Paul tells us that. And this is contrary to the opinion or to the thought that Adam ate apple. I'm sure by now we know he did not eat any, there was no eating. It was a disobedience. Amen? All right. In Genesis 3:19, he says, for dust thou art, and unto the dust shall you return. Genesis 3:19. This is the only scripture at this point that refers to death. From dust thou art, and from dust thou will return. It's the only scripture that refers to death. Okay? Note this also. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, we're going to read that. We will see something there. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 1 to 3. We have seen in Genesis 2:7, the day you eat of it, what will happen? And then in Genesis 3:9, he says, for dust thou art, 3:19, sorry, dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return. Okay? Which refers to death. So now let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. If you are there, can I hear an amen? Let's read it together, clean and clear. I want to go. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of which they chose. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for he is what? Yet his days shall be, and his days shall be what? Are we together here? Now, of course, you know that 120 years does not mean that man will live for 120 years. It's only talking about the long suffering of God, okay, towards them when Noah will preach for them. Because if you study, you would realize that Noah preached for 120 years. Is that true? He was ministering, he was preaching to them. And of course, those that believe entered the ark, and those who did not believe did not enter and were destroyed. Okay, now, of course, to prove that, he says, 120 years. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 29, we see that Noah lived 950 years after that declaration. 950 years after that declaration. Note this also. In Genesis chapter 11, people lived above 120 years. In Genesis chapter 11, people lived above 120 years. So that tells you he wasn't talking about the age of man. He was talking about something else. And in the New Testament, when Peter was talking, we see that it has to do with the long suffering of God, you know, so that salvation can be available to them. And that was for the period of 120 years. In the study of the Bible, the epistle is where we have the scriptures interpreted to us by the Holy Spirit. Do we all agree to that? All right. So what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Not forgetting the question, what did Jesus die for? What did he really die for? What happened in Genesis chapter 3? Look at the book of Romans chapter 12, chapter 5 and verse number 12. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Are we on the same page? Am I too fast? Can we go on? All right. Romans 5:12, by one man, what? Sin entered into what? The world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Remember, we are looking at what Jesus died for. So what death was Paul referring to? Because he said, by one man, death, right? Or sin entered. And because of sin, death, what? Passed upon all men. What death was Paul referring to? Romans 5:14. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. Okay? So note this. There was a reign of death in a dispensation of activities. There was a reign of death in a dispensation of activities. Men had their conduct, their manner of life in death. Men had their conduct, their manner of life in death. There were activities. In other words, people were carrying out their businesses, even though they were dead. Right? People were marrying and giving to marriages, even though they were dead. Activities, series of activities. So man was active but yet dead. So note this. This stresses a condition of man and not an extinction of man. This stresses a condition of man and not an extinction of man. This stresses a condition of man and not an extinction of man. A condition of man and not an extinction of man. When God said, you shall surely die, did man die? Eh? How many of you say no? How many of you say yes? I didn't ask for explanation. Some of you are trying to be smart, trying to give explanation. The question is simple. When God said you shall surely die, is that what God said? The day you eat of it, you shall what? So when man ate of it, did he die? Okay, keep it somewhere. We will see whether he died or not. But let me ask you a question. When man ate of it, which is disobedience, right? Was there a separation? Was there a separation? Was there death? Was there a separation? So did man die? It has some have changed. Why are you shifting grounds? The day you eat of it, you shall. Okay. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. Let's go to the epistles. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let's get there. If you are there, say amen. If you are not there, say wait for me. Right? Let's get there first. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Everybody clean, clear, want to go. And you had he quickened who we are dead in what? So hold it. When did you die? Where was this death? In Adam? Verse 2. Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh where? Among whom also we all had our what? Conversation here is lifestyle. In time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we are by nature the children of wrath, even as verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his law, great love, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Dead in what? When did this death take place? So when Adam ate, did he die? How was the death? And we had said it there, that it was a condition. It was not extinction. Physically, he was alive. He was walking. But there was a condition. It is called separation. Are we together here? So man died. That's why he says, you walked, even though you were dead in sins and trespasses, but you walked. Activities were ongoing, even though you were dead. Are we together here? Praise the Lord. So he says, death in sin and trespasses. He refers to the death of Jesus and where we were before the death of Jesus. Please, you can take this down or you can note this down. He refers to the death of Jesus and where we were before the death of Jesus. Where we were before the death of Jesus. Where we were, the state of man, okay, before the death of Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says almost the same thing. Hallelujah. I should read it again. We read from Ephesians 2, 1 to 5, right? And the emphasis there was dead in sin and trespasses, right? And we say he refers to the death of Jesus and where we were before the death of Jesus. That is our state before the death of Jesus, or the state of man before the death of Jesus. Is that clear? Praise the Lord. So note this. This death is qualified in the scriptures. This death is qualified in scriptures. Dead in sin, dead in trespasses. It is qualified in scriptures. Because we see dead in sin, dead in trespasses. Sin and trespasses. Remember Genesis 2:17? The day you eat of it, what will happen? You shall surely die. So take note of the scriptures. Romans chapter 5 verse 17. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 5, where we just read. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 5. And Colossians chapter 2. I remember I mentioned Colossians, but we didn't read it. Chapter 2 verse what? Sorry, not 10, 13. 10 to 13 actually. But 13 is the place of emphasis where he said, and you being dead in your sins and in uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What does that translation say? I have another translation there. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was hearing something sounding out from this corner. All right. Praise the Lord. So the debt is qualified in scripture. That's what we've said, right? So in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, Romans, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, 2 verse 1 to 5, and Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it stresses the condition and state of man from Genesis 3. It stresses the condition and state of man from Genesis chapter 3. Did we read Romans 5:17? For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, they which what? Receive abundance of what? Grace and the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life. Okay. So it stresses the condition and state of man from Genesis. So notice something. In Genesis 3:19, notice the effect on man's body. To the dust, thou shalt return. The effect of sin. Remember we said that there was disobedience. Okay? Which is separation. Which brought separation. And we said the separation is death. So man was dead, even though he walked. Even though activities were ongoing. But we see a consequence. He said, to the dust thou shalt return. So there was an effect on man's body as a result of disobedience. Okay? So let's see man's condition. This is after fall. The book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 1. Let's see man's condition. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. If you are there, say amen. All right, let's move. Can we read it together? Clean and clear. Want to go? And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that were what? Fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always with man. For there is also flesh, yet his days shall be 100 and... Okay, do we see that? Genesis 1 to 3. Then let's read verse number 5. Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was what? Only evil continually. This was the state of who? Man. Okay? Let's look at Genesis chapter number 8 and verse 21. Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 21. So even though man had a condition, let's look at 8:21 Genesis. If you are there, say, I am there. All right, let's read it together. Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imaginations of man's heart is what? Evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite as I have. Verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day shall... Seed time and harvest. You know, you can take this and coin a message out of it. Seed time and harvest. But he was just talking about rainy season, day and night. That's all. No further explanation. Praise the Lord. So this shows us the state of man. The state of man. God described man also in his state in Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. There's a description of the state of man. That was not a good state. True? Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 6. Are you there? Can we read it together? Clean and clear. I want to go. If you are there, say, I am there. Papa says a lot of scriptures. Good for your saintly, what? Dignity, right? Okay. In case you are used to projector, and now there's no projector, you have to labor to open the scriptures. Bros, do it with all your heart. It is good for your health. Amen. 53 and verse number 6, we're going to read it together. Everybody clean and clear, want to go. All we, like sheep, we have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. As sheep, or like sheep that have what? Gone astray. Okay? Just like a car that has no brake. I've not been in one before. And I will not be in any, in Jesus' name. That is chaos. Sheep gone astray, describing the state of man. Gone astray, have turned everyone on his way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquities of us all. Now, take note of these scriptures. Romans 5, verse 16. Romans 5, verse 16. Romans 3, verse 9 to 23. Romans 3, verse 9 to 23. Psalm 14 and verse number 3. Romans 5, 16. Romans 3, 9 to 23. Psalm 14 and verse number 3. I will want somebody to open verse Psalm 14 and verse number 3. But let's look at the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 16. 5, verse 16. Romans. If you are there, say, I am there. 5, verse 16. We're going to read it together, clean and clear. I want to go. But the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Unto justification. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all what? Gone out of the way, that are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. Now, was this the description of the state of man or the reality of the believer? The state of man, right? Are we together? Psalm 14, verse number 3. In fact, for the purpose of study, you can read up to verse number 23. Okay, so you can take note of that. At Romans chapter 3, verse 9 to 23. But Psalms chapter 14, verse 3. Still on the state of man. Are we together? Still describing the state of man. Now, having said all that and having read all of this, I want to take note of this, that in spite of man's state, God blessed him materially. In spite of man's state, God blessed him materially. He enjoyed physical blessings. He enjoyed physical blessing. That's why the man who doesn't know Christ still succeeds in business. Okay? Oftentimes, Papa will say, you just need to have a good head on your neck and you will succeed. And if you are a student of the word in this house, or you have been listening to teachings, you will know that you don't need Jesus to have money. You don't need Jesus to build a house. Why? Before Jesus came, there were men building houses. People had money. They were multi-millionaires before he came. So he didn't come to give us money. He came for one singular problem. He shall save his people from their what? Behold the Lamb of God that does what? That taketh away the sins of the whole world. Are we together here? So the assignment is clearly defined in scriptures. Praise the Lord. So that is why we are saying, in spite of the state of man, God still blessed him materially. He enjoyed physical blessings. And I want you to take note of this. The problem was not the ground. Because we see that the ground was cursed in Genesis. The problem was not the ground or physical death. It was more than that. The problem was not the ground or even physical death. It was more than that. It was far beyond that. God acknowledged the state of man, yet he protected him. Acknowledged the state of man, yet he protected him. Is that true? Cain sinned, but God still did what? Protect him. He put a mark and said, anyone that touches Cain, that is after the man has done some serious murder. Are we together? Romans chapter 5 verse 8, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. John chapter 10 verse 10. He said, I have come that you may have what? Life. And have it what? How many times? Abundantly. Or have it and be abundant. As Papa will rightly explain to us. Okay? Praise the Lord. So in Genesis chapter 3 verse 19. Note this. The only thing said about his body was that it will return to dust. The only thing said about his body was that it will return to dust. He said, you were out of dust, and to dust you will return as a consequence of a disobedience. There is still no mention of sickness. Did you see sickness anywhere? Disease anywhere? So one thing is clear, sin definitely had effect on man's body. Sin definitely had effect on man's body. In Genesis 2:7, it was formed from the ground. In Genesis 3:19, now it is returning there. Wonderful. In Genesis 2:7, it was formed from the ground. In Genesis 3:19, it is returning there. Praise the Lord. Paul says something in the book of Romans, and I wanted to take note of the scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. 1 Corinthians 15, 39 to 53. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. Romans 8, 10 to 11. 1 Corinthians 15, 39 to 53. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Okay? Let's see what Paul has to say there. Romans chapter 8, verse number 10. Are you there? 8 and verse number 10. Can we read it together? Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelt in you, he that raised up Christ shall what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth where? In you. Shall quicken what? Your mortal bodies by his spirit. And of course, you know that this is when corruption puts on incorruption. Is that clear? All right. Praise the Lord. Now, look at the next scripture, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 39. Shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that is in you. 1 Corinthians 15 verse number 39. Are you there? Can we read verse 39? Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in what? In glory. Can we read the next verse? It is sown in corruption. It is raised in what? Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what? In glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what? Is this for the believer or for the natural man? Amen. And so this tells us that even when the body goes to the ground, the body will rise again. When corruption puts on incorruption. Is that true? Are we together? Praise the Lord. Now, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse number 1. Oh my goodness. For verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. Are you there? All right, we're going to read it together. Everybody clean and clear, want to go. For we know. Eternal. For in this we what? Groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Verse 3. If so be that our being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but upon that mortality might what? Be swallowed up of. Are we together here? This gives every believer. I think there should be an excitement here. Are we together here? That a time will come when corruption will put on incorruption, when we shall be changed. Ephesians calls it the redemption of the purchased possession. Are we together here? Praise the Lord. You know, Papa was talking about, he keeps giving this illustration, you know, where you have the bottle and you have the cover, okay, where you go to redeem. And when you give the cover, you remember the illustration? For those of you who follow the teaching, when you present the cover, what happens? You take the price. Okay, he talks about the redemption of the body. And so the believer has the Spirit of God in him, resident in him as the seal, as the guarantee that it will happen on that day. Are we together here? By the same Spirit, he said, if the Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in you, since he is in you, the same Spirit that is in you shall quicken your mortal body. Glory to God. That's why the believer can never miss rapture. The believer is saved, and he is saved eternally. Amen. I said amen. So let's go on. Please take note that the body of man today is of the dust and will surely return to the dust. The body of man today is of the dust and will surely return to the dust. This was due to Adam's sin. James chapter 2 verse 26. And Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 10. James 2:26. And Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 10. James tells us that for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is what? And in Acts 20, we see that a man was, while Paul was teaching, a man was on the third floor. The second or third floor? His name is Eutychus. Amen. And I'm sure while the teachings was going on, he was having a meditation. And in the course of meditation, something happened. And he was never the same again. Praise the Lord. You know, the key thing there is that life came, was, you know, he received life back. He had life restored to him. Praise the Lord. So that the spirit is in him, it means his life is in him. In Acts chapter 7, verse 56 to 60, Stephen gave up his spirit, or he gave up the ghost. In Acts chapter 7, verse 56 to verse 60, he gave up the ghost. So what simply happens there? The body returns to the dust by the separation of his spirit from his body. The body returns to dust. So man's body became mortal by sin. Man's body became mortal by sin. Prior to sin, his body was neither mortal or immortal. Prior to sin, his body was neither mortal or immortal. Okay, it was neither mortal nor immortal, waiting for man to choose. So when he chose of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay, man became mortal. His body became mortal. Remember the consequence. That's why it is called the fall. Amen. He had been subject to sin and his body mortal. God spoke this immediately. Of course, God spoke in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where we see the redemption plan. Okay. And so beginning from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see that the Bible talks about redemption. We begin to see the Bible in the light of redemption from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So in Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son made of a woman born under the law. In Galatians 4:4. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among men. Are you taking note of these scriptures? Galatians 4:4, John 1:14, Isaiah 7:14, for he shall save his people from their sins. John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh what? Away the sins of the whole world. the sin of the world. Praise the Lord. So in all of this reading, have you seen sin? Have you seen disease or sickness anywhere? But we have seen sin over and over and over and over. Please, are you following? Are we all together? Praise the Lord. So sin was the issue. Note this. Sin was the issue. Note this. Not once was humanity referred to as diseased. Not once. But we were referred to as sinful and sinners. Not once was humanity referred to as diseased, but we were referred to as sinful and sinners. We're referred to sinful and sinners. Then if we read further in the writings of Moses in Leviticus chapter number 16 and verse 1 to 34, and we won't read that now, okay? But if you read that, you will see atonement. You will see that there was atonement. Leviticus 16, verse 1 to 34. Since sin was the issue, right? And we see sin or man is called sinful or addressed as a sinner or sinful. So there was room for atonement. As we see in the laws of Moses. So atonement, of course, which is the word to pacify. The Greek word paval, which means to pacify. And we see that several times in the book of Leviticus. Atonement was strictly for sin, not sickness, not disease. Strictly for sin. So let's look at the book of Hebrews. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Let's see what the writer of Hebrews has to say in chapter 10 and verse number 1. Now, of course, for your study, you can read from verse 1 to 14, but we're going to just stay within two verses of Hebrews chapter 10, which is going to be verse 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 10. One to 14, but we will read verse 4 and verse number 12. If you are there, say, I am there. Verse 4, let's read it together, clean and clear. I want to go. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It is what? So when there was atonement in Leviticus, as instructed by Moses, was their sins taken away? Are we together here? So look at verse number 12. Everybody, clean and clear, want to go. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of... He sat down on the right hand of... How many times did he offer the sacrifice? Why will it have to be once and not on a yearly basis? A more perfect sacrifice, right? More perfect sacrifice. Are we together here? Now, we're heading somewhere. Please note this. The atonement was for sin. The atonement was for sin. And the very image of that atonement is the sacrifice of Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus. Romans 5 says, 5:10, it says, by whom we have received atonement. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. For if we, or if when we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise the Lord. Will you receive atonement, or you have received atonement? Now, of course, you must know that the word atonement here is the word that means reconciliation. Okay? The Greek word katalasso. I think you can write that down. The Greek word katalasso, meaning it means reconciliation. Katalasso. It is spelled K A T A double L A S S O, katalasso. Sounds like tongues, eh? Katalasso. The word reconciliation. So we see that word reconciliation used in 2 Corinthians 5 verse number 18 to 19. The word reconciliation. Alright? 2 Corinthians chapter what? 5 verse 18 to 19. What does he say? All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us what? The ministry of, to wit, that God was where? In Christ, doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had what? Committed unto us the word of reconciliation, or the message of reconciliation. Is committed to all of us. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we have been reconciled, and this is our reality. But remember, we're looking at healing, right? Healing ministry. And somebody will say, why go through all this route? Well, we're on a journey. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's look at God's unchanging stand on health, or healing and health. God's unchanging stand on healing and health. God's unchanging stand on healing and health. And I want you to note this. A holistic appraisal of who God is. A holistic appraisal of who God is cogent in examining the origin of sickness. A holistic appraisal of who God is. Synonym for holistic: total, comprehensive, all. So you don't want to write holistic, you can use another word. Against such, there is no law. A holistic appraisal of who God is cogent in examining the origin of sickness. So the book of 3 John, verse number 2. Let's see what John says here. 3 John, verse number 2. Hallelujah. If you are there, say, I am there. 3 John, verse number 2. Can we read it together? Everybody, clean and clear, I want to go. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Okay? So notice this here. The desire of Apostle John for a fellow Christian is for him to prosper and be in health. A desire for a fellow Christian. It is important to note that the health isn't about the soul, and that sickness deals with the physical body. And be in good health. It's not talking about the soul. It's talking about the physical body. The body. Praise the Lord. And be in good health. The word health. And I wanted to take note of this. It is the Greek word. I'm going to spell it for you, and I leave you to pronounce it. H-I-G-I-A-M-E-I-N. H-I-G-I-A-M-E-I-N. How do you pronounce that? Whatever. I should come again. H-I-G-I-A-M-E-I-N. It means healthy. And it is used to depict physical health. It means healthy, and it is used to depict physical health. We have two applications of the word hygiamen. I finally mention it. We have two applications of this word, hygiamen, hygiamen, whatever. It is used, number one, for the physical body. It is used, number one, for the physical body. We have said it has two applications, right? Number one, for the physical body. It speaks of soundness. It speaks of soundness in the physical body. Okay? It speaks of soundness. Yes, you can take note of that. Speaks of soundness. And the soundness here refers to nothing missing, no ailment or sickness. Nothing missing, no ailment or sickness. That word, hygiamen. We see that word used in the book of Luke. Should I take it again? Are we together? We're good? Okay. Yes, from where, please? Is it the word? Okay. We said it speaks of, when we talk about the physical body, and we say it speaks of soundness, right? And soundness here, it speaks of soundness in the physical body. That word, hygiamen. It speaks for sound. It speaks of soundness in the physical body. And we say the soundness here refers, or sound here refers to nothing missing. Do you understand? Are we good? It refers to nothing missing, no ailment or sickness. In Luke 5, verse 31, Luke chapter 5, verse 31, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole, that same word, whole, need not a physician, but they that are sick. They that are whole don't need a physician. That word higaya man, the word for whole or soundness. Okay, as used by Jesus in Luke 5:31. It is also used in Luke chapter 7, verse 10. Luke's gospel, chapter 7, verse 10. And they that we are sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. The word whole in Luke's gospel, chapter 7 and verse number 10. That is, if you are not sick, it's talking about when you are not sick. And when you are not sick, you are whole. So the word explains the wholeness of the physical body. The word explains the wholeness of the physical body. Praise the Lord. Remember, we said that we have two applications of the word higaya men, right? Two applications of the word. And the first application, okay, the physical body, right? Okay, soundness. Amen. We're going to look at the next one. We'll take it off from there. Two applications. We've only seen one. We will see the second application in the next class. Praise the Lord. Please stand to your feet. Glory! Hallelujah. Okay, just before I hand over, please, I want to say that if there's any area you need further explanation in the course of our teaching, please, can you write it down? In the next class, we'll just take it up from there. Is that okay?